All right, please turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts 28. And then if you would just put your marker there or something there and to hold that spot, I'm going to have you turn over to 1 Peter chapter 4 as well. I'm going to read from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. And I'm going to have you, if you would, be so kind as to stand for the reading of God's Word. And I'll just read this brief passage. It says, "And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we apply some of the things we've been learning from the book of Acts, learning about hospitality and generosity, Lord, I pray that you would help us to apply well and apply in ways that are unique to us, that we can serve you by showing others hospitality as you have shown us hospitality. Help us, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We've been talking about hospitality, so today's message will be primarily an application of what we've learned over the last couple weeks. And so it may seem like it's a little short on exposition of Scripture, which we love to do, but we have already done that in Acts chapter 28. And I, through just wanting to understand better how to show hospitality and generosity, began to just read articles and began to research Scripture. And as I did, I just began to get a deeper understanding and a deeper love for this thing called hospitality. I'm not sure I do it well, but I'm trying, and I think all of us can take a real step of faith. And I encourage you, if you've not heard the last couple of weeks, to go back and look at it. I'll just remind you quickly of what we've been looking at. If you go back to Acts chapter 28, and I won't read the whole passage because we've read it several times already, but it's the story of when Paul was shipwrecked on the small island of Malta. It's about the size of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. He was on his way to Rome. He had been arrested, and he was going to stand trial in Rome. And on his way there, they had several weeks, about 14 days of a terrible storm, which caused the ship to sink. All 276 persons aboard did make it to land, as God, through his angel, communicated to Paul. And when they got on the island, the inhabitants of the island, it says, showed them unusual kindness. And I think we have a wonderful story of hospitality here. And we see then Paul blessing them by healing one of the people who was very sick on the island. And then they brought many people to him, and he ended up healing many people. And I think there were some things we've learned. So again, I encourage you to go back and look at those principles that we learned. But today we'll be mostly just trying to understand a little bit more deeply, how do we put hospitality into practice every day? And the great thing is there's a wonderful range of different things we can do, a variety of ways in which we can show hospitality to one another. And so we're going to explore some of those. Now, as we think about what hospitality is, let me give you a couple statements that I think are helpful. And why do we do this? This is what's key, is that hospitality pictures the gospel, and it proclaims the gospel. Jesus said in John 13, "By this all people will know that you're my disciples if you have love one toward another." Then we read there in 1 Peter, it says that we are to receive one another or to welcome one another. It says that love covers a multitude of sins, and then to be hospitable to one another without complaining. And so we've been learning there's a powerful connection between God's redemptive purpose and this thing called hospitality. We kind of looked at some passages and other parts of the book of Acts that showed where hospitality was a sign of the natural outflow of someone who is genuinely a believer. When people came to faith in Jesus Christ, they began to open their hearts, their homes, and their hands to help other people. This ought to be the defining characteristic of Christians. The Bible shows us that when God changes hearts, he changes our attitude toward other people in this way. And we even took some time to explore how, because our world is changing, hospitality is an excellent way for us to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I think because things have changed so rapidly, the way that we've traditionally done evangelism, probably it will become more and more difficult to do it in those ways. But hospitality is a way in which we can share the gospel with people. As we love one another in the local church and show hospitality to one to another, but also then how we then invite strangers into our home and then use that time of love and showing them the love of Christ as a way to communicate the gospel. So let's look at some of these ways we can view hospitality. Hospitality is receiving and treating guests and strangers in a way that is friendly and generous. Another way you can define that as hospitality is sharing your heart and your home with others so that you can show them the love of Christ. And I would throw hands in there too. Heart and hands, and that's part of that generosity. And then your home, which is certainly part of it as well, so that you can show them the love of Jesus Christ. And so we're going to talk about how to do that. Biblical hospitality, I like what Carrie Fulmer said about this. Biblical hospitality is the practice of welcoming others into our lives. Hospitality means inviting someone to share a meal, to shelter, or a ride so that you can get to know one another on a deeper level. Hospitality entails providing an environment of care for brothers and sisters in Christ or for the stranger to whom we want to share Christ. Hospitality means gladly receiving the neighbor next door or the traveling saint in need of refreshment. And what a wonderful way to explain how we can put hospitality into practice. And so what I'd like to share, a lot of this is from different resources that I read to get my own understanding of hospitality to grow. And so I want to give acknowledgement. There's an excellent, excellent article written by Carrie Fulmer. Actually, I think it's a book now, a very brief book, a booklet. Let's just call it a booklet. And she gives eight ways in which we can practice hospitality. And a lot of that is drawn from here. And I just want to kind of share it because I think they're just really, really good gospel-focused principles. And again, if you want to look at all the theology behind it, the last two messages kind of do that. This is going to be more practical. So I'm just going to give you some ways in which you can practice hospitality. Practicing hospitality ought to be practical. It's something that we ought to do. And it ought to be not just something that we do as an event. It ought to be a heart. It ought to be a culture that we develop in our own hearts and in our own families of reaching out by opening our home. So the first thing is to start by growing in love for your church, okay? Love for one another, he says, is that defining characteristic. And so, again, 1 Peter 4 says, have fervent love for one another. Love covers a multitude of sins. Doesn't mean we overlook sin. That's not what it's saying. It's saying that when people wrong you, you're willing to show forgiveness. You're willing to bear with them and still continue the relationship so that you both can grow in that relationship together. Colossians chapter 3 tells us that God tells us to have compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. And then it says this, and above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. So those who have experienced the love of Jesus Christ will naturally have a love for each other because it is Christ who binds us together. We come together as Christians in Christ Jesus, and that becomes a real bond that we have in him. So as we love Christ, so we love one another because we are bound together in Jesus Christ. And so, you know, John 13, he says, a new commandment I give to you that you love one another. Now, here's the question is, why does he say a new commandment? Because technically, it's not a new commandment. This is something he tells us in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. This is a principle that's been well established, love God and love your neighbor. So how is it that he's saying a new commandment that I give to you? This is the reason why. Because of Jesus Christ, everything has changed when it comes to love. And what do I mean by that? It means that God now has given us a new reason to love. Jesus Christ binding us together. He's given us a new community to which to love. Because we're bound together in Christ Jesus, we have this new community that we're practicing this love with. And he gives us a brand new power. When we receive Jesus Christ, we get the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will begin to teach us how to love one another well. And so the first thing you can do is just start by loving one another in the local church, making it a priority. The second thing we can see is welcome widely. Romans chapter 15 and verse 7, he says, therefore welcome one another just as Christ also welcomed us. Welcome one another. Another way it says to receive. It means an open-hearted, warm reception for one another. So how can we do this? Okay, we're starting with a church, right? This is where you really get good practice so that you can actually then go out and show love for people that you don't know yet, and you might be a little bit afraid to do that. You can start with people that you know. And it starts really when you walk into church, okay? You can smile. Wow, that's revolutionary, right? Walk into church smiling. Now, I got to be honest. Sometimes I have a lot on my mind, and I walk in like I just, you know, like my favorite dog just died. And that's, you know, I think we ought to be coming in with joy in our hearts. And so many times there's so many cares that are on our heart, we forget that, hey, when we're coming, church is not just about me and what I'm experiencing. It's about how I can serve others. And it's not, we're not saying be fake and act like everything is okay. If it's not, maybe you need to say, go up to a brother or sister in Christ, say, hey, can I talk to you for a minute? And just find a way and let that person encourage you in the Lord to share your troubles and let someone love you through those. If that's true, do that. That's a great way to expand your joy. But just walking into church with a smile on our face and to warmly welcome people around us. Oftentimes, we kind of sit, we get our spot, you know, I got my coffee, I'm ready to go. And we forget that there's people around us. Here's the thing is, worship is a group activity. And it's kind of interesting to me. It's like, if you go to a concert, like a rock concert or something like that, they get that. You go to a Chiefs game or a Sporting KC game, they get it. They're all like cheering together, and they're very interactive with people. Why? Because this, we're all cheering for the same thing, the same team, the same star or whatever. When we come here, are we not all celebrating one person, Jesus Christ? And so there ought to be an enthusiasm, a warmness in our interaction with one another. We should then sing heartily, which, by the way, good job, church family, this morning, singing heartily. And it's hard if you feel like you don't have a good voice to sing out. But here's the thing is, you know, if we all sing out, no one can hear your voice because we're all singing out, right? And so, when I mean that, don't hear if you're off key. We want to hear your voice. If you're off key, don't worry about it. But there's a sense in which when we're singing, the Bible says, singing to one another in Psalms. When I sing, it's not for me. It's primarily for God, but it's also a way to love my neighbor. When I sing heartily, it encourages people around me to sing heartily. And it lets them know, I'm glad to be here today singing with you because you're the most awesome people on the face of the planet. And so singing is another way in which we can do that. Also, talk to people. Talk to people around you. Ask them, how is your week? How is your day going? What's going on? What can I pray for you about, brother? Hey, if someone shares a burden or a blessing, if they share a blessing, rejoice with them that rejoice, right? If they share a burden, you know, we can weep with those who weep and say, I'm going to be praying. Check up and see, hey, how's that going? This week, we had some people share through texting and say, hey, what's going on? With a prayer request, and it, just to read through the responses, when the prayer was answered, praise the Lord, amen, oh, that's awesome to hear, yay. You know, people were genuinely excited about the answers to prayer. This is one of the ways in which we show hospitality. We just welcome each other, and it's a warm, inviting. I like what one person said. It's really making people outside of our home feel at home when they're with us. And we can be out someplace, and they can still feel right at home with us. And that's what our goal is. Go out of your way to bless other people. And there's a lot of ways you can do this. You can get together at the park. You can get together for coffee. I got to do that this week with Ryan, and we went to Best Donut. And you know what? Good donuts, good coffee. It's awesome. And so you can invite someone over to lunch. You can go visit a person in a nursing home. I was so blessed that there's a group of people that went and celebrated Jim Fan's 99th birthday at the nursing home. I got to do that for Audrey Mulkey. And those are just ways in which we can say, hey, you matter to us. You have value. You are loved, and I want you to know that. And for others that say, you know, well, hey, I'm at home, I have children, invite people to come over and say, hey, you know, maybe you're canning out of the gardens, come over and let's do some canning together. Hey, let's, maybe you're doing a craft. Hey, come over, let's do this craft together. Maybe you can take a meal to someone. Maybe there's someone who's struggling and you can just, give them a call and say, hey, I want you to know I'm praying for you. Get together with them, talk about it. And so they know that people are there for them and that they matter, that they're loved. Small acts of kindness really equal a very big difference. And then I'm going to ask you, or I'm going to invite you to do some variety. Now, oftentimes we feel most comfortable with people who are kind of our own age, stage of life, maybe have similar interests. But can I just challenge you to do this? Mix it up a little bit. Invite some people that are older than you. Maybe younger than you. Maybe you're single, invite someone who married over. Maybe you're married, invite single people over. Just get outside just what you're comfortable with and mix it up a little bit and show everyone that they matter. Not just the people that are like me, that are in the same stage of life, but other people. The next thing is really keep the main thing the main thing. I think Martha really struggled with this. She had Jesus over for a meal, and it says she was distracted by much serving. This is Luke chapter 10, toward the last part of the chapter. And Mary wanted to spend time with Jesus, so she just stopped what she was doing, and she spent time at Jesus' feet learning from him. And Martha was running around and trying to get all the meal prepped. I mean, they didn't have modern conveniences. I mean, this was old-timey cooking, so it's really, really tough. And finally, she gets frustrated and says, Jesus, tell Mary to help me. Don't you see how much I'm having to do? And Jesus just gently reminds her, no, Mary has chosen the more important thing. She's spending time with me. So what is the point there? Just keep the focus on Jesus. We show hospitality so that we can lift Jesus up. If you say, well, I'm not that great of a cook, it really doesn't matter. You can get takeout if you want to. It's not the food that matters. Let me say this too. It's not the beauty of the home. It's not the centerpieces or the place settings. It's that you're spending time caring about a person that really matters to God. And that's a way that we can put people first. We can make the main thing. Jesus and people knowing Jesus and knowing that Jesus loves them through our actions are what's really important. Don't be afraid to invite people into your struggles. Sometimes people will be hesitant to share their life with you unless you're willing to share your life with them to say, hey, you know, I've been struggling with something recently. Will you pray for me about that? And it just kind of opens up and then they feel permission then to be a little bit more open and transparent in their own lives. And by the way, don't feel like you have to be an extrovert if you're an introvert. You don't have to be anybody else. Don't think, say, oh, I didn't know this person. They always know the right thing to say, and they have the best jokes, and they make me feel comfortable, but I'm not that. I'm kind of an introvert. I struggle. It's okay. Don't try to be someone else. Just ask questions and let people talk and you listen, and then kind of respond. Ask, pray and say, Holy Spirit, help me to find ways that I can connect with this person that is meaningful, that is heart level connection. What's amazing about hospitality is hospitality will increase your love, and then love will then increase your hospitality. The more you love people, the more you want to get to know them through engaging in meaningful conversations and meaningful interactions. And simple things like, well, what are you reading? What is God teaching you? What are you praying about? I want to pray with you about that. And all these things can just be ways to say, hey, it's not just about shooting the breeze and talking about the weather. It's talking about deeper things, and I want you to feel the love of Christ. When we allow other people into our lives, we allow ourselves to become part of their lives. Becoming part of a church is joining a family, and family members share in each other's joys and in each other's burdens. They unconditionally love each other, and they also hold each other accountable because we want what's spiritually best for each other. And hospitality gives us a window into the heart of where people are really at, and so we can, with them, take a step toward Christ together. Now, people says, yeah, but you know what, Jeremy? Your kids are all grown. You don't remember what it's like when you got little kids. I remember hosting when we had little kids, and it's like, I mean, they're high energy, and I feel like I don't have time to really spend with my company. Well, you can learn ways to do that. One thing is help your kids get excited about having company. Make this a whole family thing. Hey, we're going to have company, and this is the best thing ever. And when they come over, you know, if there's other kids that are coming over with them, we're going to get to share our toys. And because we love them and we want them to know how much Jesus loves them, we're going to let them choose what toys they get to play with, and then we'll play with the other toys. They get to choose first because we want them to know they're loved and valued. And as you train your kids, and you can do fun things too like this, hey, have a special dessert that your kids really, really love, and say, when we have company, we have that special dessert, and then they're excited. They can't wait to have company. They're going to want to have company every week because it's something special. And then get them involved. Have them say, well, sometimes because I have kids, the house can get a little bit disorganized. Well, have them say, hey, we're having company, so we're all going to help clean up the house. We're all going to do our chores. We're all going to pitch in because we're having company, and that is the best thing ever. Let them get excited about it. Now, what can sometimes happen is you get so burdened about the details that you start to get a little bit a little bit worried or anxious because you're like, oh, is the meal going to be okay? Oh, I didn't get a chance to go over and sweep that part of the floor. And we get anxious. What happens is they start to pick up that when we have company, it means we get really anxious and we don't enjoy it. You don't want to do that. Instead, plan it well. And let me just say this. It's really nice if you can keep the house in a state to where you can have company over spontaneously, and you say, well, everything's not picked up. That's okay. I think most people understand that. If you've got kids, there's going to be some toys laying around. But just keeping your house in a state that you can generally, you know, with picking up a few things, yes, oh, I really meant to clean that bathroom, it's okay. But if you keep things picked up and you keep things pretty well and get the kids doing their chores and stuff, say, hey, we want to be ready so we can have people over. It's a kind of a lost art of people just spontaneously having company. Why don't you just come over? Or people stop in. Oh, just come in and have a cup of coffee, have some tea, have a piece of pie. Just join us for dinner. Most people are like, oh, no, I couldn't do that because my house is not ready. Let me say this. Jesus cares more about your heart than he cares about your house being perfect. And you know what? So do most people. It will mean more to them that you said, come on in, and invited them in, then your house was perfect. So don't worry. And by the way, when we get really uptight about our house just being perfect, is that more about Jesus or more about us and us being embarrassed about things? We just got to change our heart and our mentality about inviting people into our lives. And so aim to bless, not impress. Okay? Aim to bless, not to impress. Don't worry if your house is nice enough. Why are you stressed? Are you too concerned about what people think? Are you concerned about Christ or your reputation? The fact is people will remember that you love them far longer than, oh, that was the most beautiful centerpiece I've ever seen. Don't worry so much about that. And then try to have as much done as you can so that you can sit down and enjoy your company. But if you're like, listen, you don't understand, it's busy day, things went kind of sideways, then here's the thing is, it's okay to have them come in and help. Hey, I'm still working on that side dish. Would you mind grabbing some spices out of the, have them join in, because the thing is, we're doing it together. Instead of just putting all the stress on you, just invite them in. And can I say this? Usually simple is better. I mean, oftentimes if we do, it's like we're going to have hamburgers on the grill. We do it pretty simple. Now, if you really love having very ornate dinners, more power to you. That is awesome. But here's the thing is, it could prevent you from having company over very often because it's so much work. Maybe you can do both and say, you know, we're going to have some more formal. I've known some people that they like to do formal teas. They invite ladies over and it's formal with the saucers and the cups and all the dainty little. If you're into that, more power to you. But it's okay to also say, yeah, I made a pie. It's about 2 days old, but it's still really good. Would you like some? And they're like, can I bring over some Cool Whip? That would be awesome. Bring some Cool Whip over. Maybe when you're inviting people over, have them bring a dish. We had someone bring us a delicious blackberry cobbler, and I was so glad that they had asked to do that because it was really good. And so maybe they can bring some of the dishes. And so, but just if you do some prep, try to make it very simple. Make the preparation all done so you can spend time talking to them. Can I say this too? I'm going to give you permission, ladies, right now. You can use paper cups and paper plates. It's okay. You can just throw them in the garbage when you're done. Some people are like, nope, I can't do that. We got to have real plates. If that's you, that's okay. But just keep in mind, maybe have some that you can just do it. If it will allow you to have more times of fellowship like that by doing that, then do that sometimes. And just expand a little bit on how you do things. And so develop ahead of time meals that you can do simply. Just say, hey, I know if we're going to have a company, one of our go-tos is my wife makes the best sloppy joes. And you think, oh, I've had sloppy joes. No, no, you've not had sloppy joes until you've had my wife's sloppy joes. They are amazing. And it's so simple. You can put it in the crock pot and it, you know, and it's delicious. And then just have some chips and maybe a side dish of some sort. And it's really simple, but it's really delicious. And then you can have, there's not a whole lot of cleanup afterwards. It's just, we're going to enjoy some fellowship. Then we're done. Cleanup's pretty simple too. Another thing is about aiming to bless is imitate, but don't envy. Sometimes we get into trouble. Galatians 5:26 reminds us, don't envy one another. Maybe you've been to somebody's house and you're like, oh, they have a nicer house. And oh, you know what? I would make better meals if I had a stove like that. That stove is crazy awesome. I've seen some pretty awesome stoves. But listen, don't begin to think, well, because their house is nicer, mine's not nice enough. Don't do that. It doesn't really matter. And what matters is that you're opening your home, and that's what really counts. Another thing is borrow good ideas. We are total idea stealers. I mean, if you see a good idea, it's like someone does something. We went to somebody's house, and they made these sweet and spicy carrots, and I'm like, those are some of the best carrots I've ever eaten in my life. I said, how do you do it? And they're like, it's so simple. And I've made them since then because it's so simple and it's so delicious. And so you can just say, hey, I love how they did that. Oh man, that's a simple meal. I can do that. And find ways to do it better, steal ideas. But just remember, you don't have to be someone else. If it doesn't fit your personality or your style, then don't worry about it. You find what works for you. And then extend hospitality. Oh, sorry, I think I missed that one. Extend hospitality beyond the church. So we certainly want to start. This is a good way God commands us to love one another and to show hospitality within the church. There's a specific command, but also there's commands to extend hospitality beyond. The word hospitality, it means means love of strangers. And so it's for people that maybe you don't know super well. And so we need to learn to not do either or, but to do both and. Fellowship with the people in our church, show hospitality, generosity, but then also extend that beyond. Invite people over that are overlooked or forgotten. Remember what Jesus said in Luke chapter 14. And he said to him who had invited him, "When you have a dinner or supper, do not ask your friends, your brothers, your relatives, nor rich neighbors, so that they will invite you back and be repaid. But when you have a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid in the resurrection of the just." He's saying, there are people in our community, and sometimes even within the church, that are overlooked. There are people that don't get invited very often. Zero in on those people so that they know that they're being loved. Another thing you can do is think about traveling missionaries that come through. We have been blessed as a family through the years of being able to host missionaries that are coming through, and we end up becoming such good friends with them through the time spent together. So think about opening your home. You have a guest bedroom, or you just make some room. Unfortunately, yes, some of our kids can attest. Some of them got kicked out of their rooms when we had guests. Sorry, got to go, kid. You're sleeping in one of the rooms with the other kids in order to host one of the missionaries. But you know what? We end up having fun. When they would have kids, our kids would get to know them, and it was so much fun. Maybe it's a traveling evangelist, although many of them have their own travel trailers these days. And that's actually, we find that a lot in Scripture. Paul was constantly reminding people to help faithful gospel workers. Now, I tell people, don't just host anyone in the sense that make sure that you know that they're true gospel preachers, because there's a lot of charlatans out there. We don't want to help their ministries if they're not really about Jesus Christ. But when it came to ones that were approved, whether they were faithful workers, other apostles, and other gospel workers, like he tells the church in Rome, Phoebe's coming, and you need to make sure and show her hospitality and give her everything that she needs. We also see them telling the church at Colossae. Paul tells Colossae that they were to welcome Mark and Titus and to help Zenas and Apollos. Help them on their way. Help them in their ministry. So these are wonderful ways. And then with Philemon, he tells them, "Hey, I'm going to be released from prison soon. Get a room ready for me." He just invites himself over. I love that. Remember, Jesus does that too with Zacchaeus. And so, and then let me just encourage you to get the whole family involved. Again, make it really exciting for the whole family. It's a great way for them, for kids, to learn about kindness and compassion and how to love other people. It gets them a chance to practice and have them help with it. Have them set the table. Help them make one of the desserts. And then when you're done and the fellowship was sweet and you've enjoyed it, tell your children how much that meant. Says, "You know, you helped mommy. You helped daddy. And look, they had a wonderful time. We got to bless people because you helped." And that gets them really excited about it. Also, you can have your kids, if you have a little bit older kids, and especially our kids when they started becoming 10, 11, 12, 13, if the other family had smaller children, our children would entertain them. They would go get toys for them and talk to them and play with them. And so they got to be blessed by serving, but then those children, they got to be blessed by having interaction with an older child. And you know, they can kind of just go right there in the living room. Maybe you're in the kitchen. Ours were kind of all open so we could see everybody. So if there was a need with one of the children, we could see and help immediately. But the kids can help serve the younger ones. So that's just some random thoughts about the issue of hospitality. So I'm just going to then challenge you, how can you live this out, okay? Pray about it. Pray about it as a family. Start as a couple and say, "Hey, Lord, who are some people that we can invite over that we can bless?" And maybe say, "You know, I had a conversation with so-and-so. I think they could use some encouragement." Then do that. Get together with your kids and pray. Say, "Hey, kids, let's pray together as a family. Who should we invite?" And they might say, "Oh, you know, so-and-so, he's my best friend at church, and I'd like to invite them over." Well, do that. And then also pray about other people maybe that you're not as familiar with. So you can definitely pray about that. Is a great place to start. The second is prioritize. Remember, it's not just an event. It's more of a lifestyle of just having a home that's used to having people invited over and feel at home. But you have to schedule and plan it. Here's the thing is, if you ever think, "Oh, one day I'll do that," you know, it's one of those things where the one day never comes. I had a friend who used to carry this little coin that said "to it" on it. And whenever he say, I'll do it when I get around to it," he'd pull it out and say, "Here you go, there's a round to it, now let's get it done." And so there's a sense in which Jesus is saying, you know what, if you keep on saying you're getting around to it, you might not get around to it. So just put it right into your schedule. So I'm going to challenge you, Start, if you've never had someone into your home like this, I'm going to challenge you to start with hosting your first event. And it's okay to invite someone maybe that you know a little bit better because you feel a little bit nervous. That's fine. Start with one. And just keep in mind that we want to put Jesus first. We're not about impressing, but about drawing people nearer to Jesus. And then look to develop deeper fellowship with this person. Get to talk to them. Find out what's going on in their heart. Then eventually, I'm going to challenge you to kind of go beyond your normal friend group. Start easy. It's okay to start with people that you know that's easy. Then kind of press beyond that. Maybe some people you don't know very well. And then I'm going to encourage you as you do that and get used to it, and you say, wow, God really does use this. Then start thinking about who's someone that I don't know hardly at all. Maybe it's someone that's on your kid's soccer team. And you're thinking, we've never had that family over. And maybe it starts on a neutral location. That's okay. Say, hey, would you guys like to go out for ice cream after practice? You know? We've done just impromptu, hey, just want to go to the park, we're just going to throw a frisbee around. And just nothing big, nothing fancy, and maybe we'll go to McDonald's afterwards and grab a Coke or something like that. I will recommend, Hannah Bananas, man, ice cream, you can't beat that. Concordia, right? They got those, the creamy freeze. I got that wrong, didn't I? Is it Tasty Freeze? Oh, Creamy Freeze. We've met there more times than I like to admit. That's okay. Do someplace where it's kind of neutral and fun and stuff like that. And then but press on and invite someone to your home. I really encourage you to do that. So, of course, plan for it. Certainly be creative. There's lots of... Think about this. Maybe it's something that you normally do anyway that you can invite someone over. It's like, oh, Friday night is our pizza night, and don't miss Freedom at Last. Or maybe a Saturday night or something like that. Or maybe we have a pizza night or movie night. Oh, this is the night we like to all go out and get ice cream. Just invite someone to go along. It says, you know what? Hey, we're going to go meet there. You guys want to come with us? We've had a number of times where people just invited us. We're going to go here. You guys want to go? Yeah. That is so much fun. So you can kind of think outside the box a little bit on that one. Also, if you've got kids, play dates, go to the park for a barbecue, lots of different things you can do right here in Higginsville even. And then make your home a welcoming place. Make your home a welcoming place. What I mean is create an atmosphere where guests feel wanted and appreciated and loved. And that's the key, is making them feel like it's a place where I feel right at home. And maybe that doesn't happen in the first 5-10 minutes, but then just keep on going and see what happens. And eventually, all of a sudden, everyone's starting to feel relaxed, and you just feel like they're part of the family. And that's where we want to get. And of course, be open to spontaneity. Maybe it's like, you know what? We didn't plan this, but guys just want to go out and do something. That's always really good too. But by prioritizing it and planning for it, it means you should put it in your schedule. Kind of build it in. Say, hey, we want to start having people over maybe once a month or once every other month. I'm going to challenge you to kind of keep on pressing and do more. Maybe you do only once a year or twice a year. Say, you know what, we can do 3 or 4. And just see, and I think as you begin to be blessed by it and you see it's blessing other people, you'll get excited about it. And again, mix it up. Maybe part of those are them inviting you over and then you inviting them over, and sometimes it's at the park or sometimes it's at McDonald's, whatever. Which just leads us to our last thing. Just practice it. You say, I'm not sure if I know how to do it. That's why we call it practice, because practice makes perfect, right? And the truth is, it doesn't ever have to be perfect. It rarely ever is. You know what? We've had times where we're going to try something new and it burned and it did not go well. So we're like, I think we're just going to have sides. We'll see if we can figure out a main somewhere, but it's done. It did not work out very well. But that's okay. You know what? The fact is it's actually a great story for later on. It says, oh, remember that time when you totally burned the roast? So yeah, thank you for reminding me of that. Why don't you give me a paper cut and pour some lemon juice in it? That would be great. No, I'm just kidding. It just becomes a fun story. And sometimes funny things happen at it and you end up remembering. I remember one time, I'm not going to tell that story. No. No, I'm not going to tell a story. I'm sorry. I brought it up and I'm thinking, this is not the appropriate place, Jeremy. Boundaries. Let's just say some unfortunate things happened, and it ended up causing one of the the young people that was part of the group to throw up. And so it was like, it was very unfortunate. And so people who know the story are like, I know exactly what you're talking about. And we still laugh about it today. That person probably still doesn't find it funny today. It was hilarious. But you know what? We still remember that. And we have times we had one time where we had a missionary over and we found out they had meningitis and we got quarantined for 10 days. And you think, oh, so you probably didn't want to do it again. No, I got 10 days off of work. It was great. I got paid time off, and I told my boss, it's like, the doctor's the one who's calling for this, not me. And they're like, okay, Jeremy. So I had 10 days with my family, and well, part of it was sanitizing everything in the house. So the first couple days were pretty, a little bit challenging, but we had a week together as a family, and it ended up being a blessing. And so, and by the way, that doesn't happen very often. So anyway, I hope that you can see that hospitality really does make a difference. And, you know, it made a difference to Paul when they opened up their homes to him and his friends and started a fire and fed them. It does the same for others today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your grace, and thank you for teaching us about all these principles to be welcoming to one another and to open our hearts and our hands and our homes in love. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we are having a communion service.